And welcome into another episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Joining us now as we take a look at weather for the week ahead, Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions is back with us here on the program. Eric, thanks for joining us. A lot going on the weather front. Of course, we have the solar eclipse happening here this week. And this past weekend, we saw some high winds, some dust storms, and more in parts of the Plain States. So get us caught up on all that we saw here this past weekend to start our conversation today, Eric.
Yeah, deep low left the Rocky Mountains and spun its way out of parts of Wyoming and Colorado and Nebraska. And what it did was produce a very strong downslope wind event. So we had winds coming off the Rockies that were 60 to 90 miles an hour and blew a tremendous amount of dust from Texas all the way to Colorado, Kansas, you know, Nebraska. And it did it again on Sunday. In fact, we got some of those winds over to the Corn Belt as well. And that system is gone. It's fading its way up toward Minnesota today, but it's being replaced by another system farther to its south, which is going to give us a kind of a four-day, today through Thursday, severe weather event that's going to start in Texas and finish in the southeast. And by the way, that's the one that's going to ruin some of the view of the eclipse later on today for folks down in the south. So remember, this thing goes from like Mexico to Maine, and all along that way, there's going to be some kind of holes, unfortunately, that fill in with some clouds that can make the viewing kind of challenging. But yeah, this pattern is set up to give us quite a beating across the south this next several days, including maybe over the Delta and the lower Mississippi River Valley, 3 to 4 inches of rain.
Well, thinking about this active pattern that we're kind of in right now, I know you mentioned this to me before we went on the air. There are some spots across the country where we have some deficits, moisture deficits, some holes that really need to be filled in here as we're getting into the heart of planting season, Eric.
Yeah, so there's a hole in the Mid-South. There's a hole in parts of Iowa, getting into Missouri, Kansas, back in Oklahoma and Texas, and then the Red River of the North has been very dry. And who's not going to have that filled in is going to be that hole from, I'd say, Oklahoma to Missouri to Kansas, back into parts of Iowa. I think over the next 10 days, that area stays drier. That means heavy rain coming into the Mid-South and heavy rain, but maybe some snow even farther back to the west in the northern plains with the next few systems that are going to roll through. So yes, active is the name of it, but there's going to be some folks that just get missed by these next several systems. And we're not done with the winds by any stretch of the imagination. I actually see the next few systems being capable of producing very strong winds in the same locations as well.
So talk to me about how this is all setting up here as we go, you know, through the month of April and we look at this active pattern. Is that going to continue? We're going to see some shifts. What are some of the model runs telling you here for the next, we'll say, you know, 14 days or so ahead of us here, Eric?
Well, I thought we were going to be getting into some extremely active planting. I think we will. I think it's going to go quickly in parts of Illinois and Iowa, just as an example, given that these next couple of systems coming later this week and beyond don't hit those areas as hard. But we, you know, just this morning, I started to notice a bit of a trend over the weekend that was reinforced this morning. And there's a system out there next, let's call it the 17th, that I think could drop into the northern plains and get blocked up and left over the Great Lakes. And what I'm worried about with that is when they get left in those areas, in other words, they don't progress east fast, you just get a better and better chance of keeping cold air in it. And I told folks this morning in my forecast videos, I said, listen, it's not in the European ensemble. It is not in the GFS ensemble, but it's in the new artificial intelligence model. And that model has yet to burn me. It's been doing pretty darn well. So I got to give it rent some space in my brain until things start to shift around. Because I'd made a call that I said, hey, I think as we approach and get past tax day, we tend to blast this thing open with warmer conditions. And therefore we find the windows to plant when those soil temperatures come up. And I just assumed we would plant pretty quickly this spring. It's not to say that's not on the table, but I just now have one more thing to worry about, getting a low stacked up over the Great Lakes, dropping colder air into the eastern half of the country. Again, 17th through the 19th. Now, that's not uncommon, Jesse. I mean, that's that's the average last frost date. But given the mild winter, the colder start to April, we thought it would just break back open. And it's just a signal I'm going to be watching for.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on, but it seems like for the most part here, you know, we still have time, obviously, and the potential here for some good planting windows to open up in the next 4 to 6 weeks, Eric.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, I live in Illinois, of course, and so I was talking to some growers over the weekend, and they're like, okay, I would love to plant early and get everything in the ground fast, but some of those guys say some of my best planted corn is second week of May. You know, we so it's, we still have all of that. There is 4 to 6 weeks of planting window ahead of us, and this crop is going to get in that time.
How about some of the longer range models? Any new forecast data that you're looking at here right now, Eric?
Yeah, a ton of it just came out this weekend. So here's the two thoughts. Okay, the new European model just came out. What was very odd about it was now even slower at the development of La Nina, but trended toward what the National Multi-Model Ensemble was saying for the risk of summer heat and drought. Now, what is that? Most models suggest that if you're east of the 95th meridian, okay, that's most of, I mean, that's out there in the plains, right? We get plenty of spring storms north to south across the country. Drought starts to come out of Mexico into Texas and then gets into the Great Basin, and then by summer starts to encroach on the Western Corn Belt. By fall is everywhere. I mean, I'm drawing on this invisible map right here, Jesse, but it's right here in the whole middle of the country. The European model just trended toward that, even though it has a weaker progression of La Nina. And I can't explain it. I'm looking at the models going, why? What was that trend? And it doesn't even look at all like my analog forecast. My analog forecast says three spots to watch. If you're in southern and western Texas, or in the mid-south, or possibly in the southeast, that is where historically we tended to have drought that formed following an El Nino. It tended to storm like mad throughout the entire Corn Belt. So what do we pick here? Well, the models did terrible last year. We know that. But analog forecasting is not a guarantee. So I'm just going to say something, man. These next 6 weeks, I will be watching what I call jet stream momentum. Does it get blocked up, and does it leave places out of the flow, or does it just keep moving? If it keeps moving, we're going to have rain, man. It's going to move. We're going to have the systems rolling through. If it starts losing momentum early, I'll start ringing the alarm bell.
All right. We do appreciate it. Folks can find more information online, ag-wx.com. Again, ag-wx.com for the latest weather details, and sign up for Eric's weekly weather newsletter. With that, Eric Snodgrass, Principal Atmospheric Scientist with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Eric, thanks for joining us here on the program today.
All right. Sounds good, Jesse.
All right, and with that, we are out of time on this episode of American Ag Today. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. I'm Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.